Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And welcome back to NBRFM. And yes, I am your host, Rick Delgado, sitting with our guest, Logan Loomis. He is an independent consulting coach based out of New Orleans, Louisiana. If you do want to reach out to him, a couple different ways. Of course, you can go to his website. You'll see it when you punch it up. It's his name. Very simple. LoganLoomis.com. That's Logan, LOOMIS.com. LoganLoomis.com. You can also email him, Logan@LoganLoomis.com, or give him a call, 504-302-1346. Logan, welcome back. How are you?
Good to be back, Rick. I'm doing great.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time and joining us. And just to remind people, Logan is a management consultant. He's an executive coach, a professional speaker. We also found out he's an author who's earned his stripes as a former VP of sales, CEO, lawyer. I think you can go and bring your dog to him. He'll do a veterinarian checkup. No, I'm kidding. he does a lot, as you can tell. He's also the author of both Sides Win, a book about how to build great relationships and great returns at the same time, and Getting the People Equation Right, another book. Today we're talking about, I guess with Logan, we're going to talk about sales and the book Both Sides Win, right?
That sounds great, Rick.
All right. So now something I noticed about your book is that it's a book on sales, but you call it a consumer negotiation instead of sales. Why is that?
Well, Rick, when you think about sales, we tend to think about buy-sell transactions, which of course is true. But selling is much broader than that. Daniel Pink wrote a book that has a title, I wish I had thought of it. It's a great title, To Sell is Human. What that title communicates is that selling is something all of us are doing all of the time.
Right.
We just don't think about it as selling. And that's one of the main messages in the book. Think about all the things we negotiate every day without thinking. You know, negotiation is the natural human process by which we get to agreement. It's how we resolve differences when we have some shared interests and some different interests. It's how we make a sale. For instance, let's say I ask you if you want to have lunch, Rick.
All right.
And you say yes, which, by the way, may question your judgment, Rick. Just say
yes. Well, you know what?
Clearly, go ahead.
I would still say yes anyway.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Rick.
You're welcome.
So
I'm hungry.
We clearly have some shared interests, right? Mm-hmm. We are both apparently hungry, and we're willing to have lunch together. So I say, how about Italian?
Okay.
You don't want Italian. Now we have different interests on what kind of food we want. So I propose Greek. Now we're negotiating. I'm not into baklava. So I propose an alternative. I say, there's a burger joint down the road. It's new. I've heard it's good.
Right.
You like the idea. We come to agreement. Burgers it is. I just hope for your sake, Rick, that we have a Greek burger that has feta on it. But
yeah, unfortunately, I'm not a Greek fan as well, but go ahead. I'm
okay,
following.
Okay, I picked the wrong restaurant, Rick. Okay, but we're both going for the burger, I think.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Okay, so whether you're negotiating where you want to go to lunch or for a new car, whether you're trying to get buy-in for a proposal at work or deal with conflict, you're selling. You're negotiating. And there are some core influence principles that will help you get good outcomes. And those principles are what I talk about in the book. I think of it as a primer. I've intentionally made it short and practical. Uh-huh. I focus on several key practices or principles that will help you effectively influence outcomes.
Right. And you know what? As you went through that description, I think we do a lot more than we realize. Even just with something
Absolutely.
Like lunch. Even with, hey, I'd like to ask that girl out for a date. Well, there's, you got to negotiate.
Exactly. You want
to
influence the
there.
Outcome.
Right.
You want to get a yes.
Exactly.
You know, we want to get yeses. Whenever
right.
we're trying to get a yes, we're now, selling. We're influencing.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, Logan. Is there a practice or principle, based on that description you just gave, that you can share with the listeners?
Sure. Listening. You're not going to read any book on sales that Rick doesn't tell you to listen. But what I've discovered is it's not listening that creates influence. It's how you listen.
Right.
In the book, I share how to listen in a way that creates influence by tapping into two powerful influence principles. One of those principles and it's really compelling, is the influence principle of reciprocity.
Okay.
The principle is this. If I give you something of value, you have an unconscious need to reciprocate, to give me something of equal value. It's true for every culture on the globe.
Right.
We can't have a society full of moochers. It's one of the reasons that buyers start low and sellers start high. We leave room for concessions.
Right.
If I make a concession on price to you, I'm expecting you to make a concession on price for me. So we leave room for it. Again, if I have something of value,
right,
you have an unconscious need to reciprocate. There's an expectation that you will reciprocate. And here's something that's important to note. It doesn't matter whether it's a tangible or an intangible thing. It just has to be something of value.
Right.
And one of the things we all value is being understood. Not agreed with, just understood. And psychologists tell us that after food and shelter, the most compelling, the most important human need is to be understood. So if I give you understanding, you have an unconscious need to reciprocate and give me understanding. It's counterintuitive. If I want you to listen to me, Rick, If I want you to understand me, I first have to listen and understand you. That means that you can actually gain more influence by listening than by speaking, as long as you listen to the point of understanding. And in the book, I give readers some guidance, some processes, some practices on how to listen to the point of understanding so that you tap into that influence principle. And what I've discovered over the years is that these listening practices are really the key to creating relational influence, regardless of what you're saying. As you said, you know, whether it's asking for a date,
right,
whatever we want, wherever we want to influence a yes. So they've become an important part of what I teach leaders and managers in all of my workshops.
Right. Now, what about, and this is a sidestep, and we'll get back to what you're talking about in a few moments, but I've been in those car negotiations, Logan. I've wanted the car, but I've also known that I can walk away.
Yeah.
And with that in my back pocket, maybe I don't give that, that little concession of, well, you came down $20 a month on the payment. Yeah, I'm still not moving.
Well, and so that's not a value to you. So, you know, it has to be something of value. I have to tap into what's of value to you. If I've offered you something, you may make a concession. You've not made a significant enough concession for me to feel like it's of value.
Right. Okay.
So it's not meaningful. It's not something that I'm going, we're really negotiating here.
Right.
You're not coming forth in good faith.
So in other words, they haven't, if I'm in that car negotiating and it came down 20, I want to see 40 to know that we've got something going.
That we've got, because you're not in the realm of where I'm willing to make a concession.
Right.
That's not of value to me.
Okay. All right. But if
suddenly I come back and you've come down and you're making a meaningful concession, then I feel like I need to make I'll meet you. You know, and people will say, you know, I'll put some more money on the table,
right,
and we'll come to a meeting. Actually, it can be more effective if you realize there are other things than money that you can concede. For instance, I have a client that prices a 3-year warranty in their margin, and they offer a standard 2-year warranty.
Right.
So if they find that a customer has some interest in a 3-year warranty, they'll offer the 3-year warranty. It doesn't really cost them anything, but it can be of value to the customer.
Right.
The customer then makes a concession on price.
So in other words, it's
finding things to make a concession.
Right. They've worked it in already. And they can kind of pull it out and be like, look, I'll give you even this. I see what you're doing.
Exactly. because it is a value to you.
Right.
So, and what's the value to me? It's you're going to make a concession on price.
Right.
You're going to give me a better price. It doesn't cost me anything. It actually, you know, but I get a concession from
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny because that's one of my most favorite things to do. And it's for other people, Logan. I hate shopping for cars for myself, but I'll go in there and smash somebody over the head for anybody else. jumping back to your book now, and in terms of the practices, it sounds like the practices in the book apply to, you know, both salespeople and leaders.
To sell as human, they do.
Right.
Yeah, I generally find that when I deliver sales training, people see that these are practices that everyone needs every day. Just a moment.
Right.
So I end up training customer service, operations, managers, leaders, basically everyone in the company on these principles. The practices are really helpful for people who have to deal with conflict, like unhappy customers.
Right. And you explain how to help them with that conflict? Because I know, you know, let's face it, people hate confrontation.
They do. And most of us, when we're faced with conflict, faced with somebody who's being difficult, ever happened to you, Rick?
A little.
I mean, we all do, you know.
Of course, all the time.
We get defensive. You know, it's a natural reaction when you're suddenly confronted with someone who's upset or taking an extreme position. So much so that it's used as a negotiation tactic. It's often called Russian-style negotiation. Basically, I act out. I act like I'm upset. I take an extreme position. I'm expecting that you will react. If I can get you to react, then the control shifts to me.
Wow.
I mean, kids are masters at it. They know exactly the buttons to push. But whether someone's feigning being upset as a tactic, or they're really upset, or they're your 16-year-old child, there are practices that can help you respond rather than react. Practices that will help you maintain self-control rather than giving your control away.
Wow. It's very, very, what's the word I'm searching for? Poignant? Nah, not the best word. Very timely about what you're talking about, Logan. It is what's playing out in Washington D.C. right now.
Oh yeah.
and it's funny because I've read books about sales and stuff like this. I've been involved. I've done it in the past. And yeah, you come into it with. You know, like you said, it's called a Russian-style negotiation. Kind of funny using that phrase these days, but it's
a little dated. But no, I don't think anybody's come up with a better term. So,
but
from when Khrushchev was pounding on the table,
right? But it is what our current president is doing. He's basically taking a very tough position on certain things, and forcing the others to react, like you said, and. Therefore, you see that control shift, and of course he's willing to move. And I think people are generally not paying attention. Like they let their emotions get the best of them. And when you're negotiating, whether it's for a car or anything, the last thing you want, right, is to have your emotions bubble up and get involved.
That's exactly right. So if you go into a negotiation in a selling situation of any kind, anywhere you want to create an outcome, get a yes, if you have control over your emotions, you are positioning yourself for the better outcome.
Right. All right. Well, you know what? We got to take a quick break right there, and I do want to jump into the emotion stuff more, but we got to take a quick break. Again, we're talking with our guest, Logan Loomis. You can reach out to him directly, either at 504-302-1346, or better yet, go to his website, which is his name, loganloomis.com. Loomis is L-O-O-M-I-S. LoganLoomis.com. You'll see him smiling at you when you punch up his website. He's a thought leader, coach, trainer, and as I mentioned, he's an author as well. We're talking about one of those books right now. We'll jump back into it. We're talking about Both Sides Win. Talking about negotiation. You can get that book. There's a link right there on the website as well. We'll take this break. Come back more with him after these words right here on. NBR.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBR-FM, New York City.
And welcome back to NBR. And yes, I'm your host, Rick Delgado, sitting with our guest, Logan Loomis. He is the man. It's tough to describe what he does because he does so much of it. If you want to find out more about him, what he does in terms of his coaching, his training, his books that you can buy on his website, LoganLoomis.com is the website, Logan, LOOMIS.com, or you can give him a call as well. Call him directly at 504-302-1346. And again, Logan, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Rick.
Yeah, and it's a fun discussion. We're talking about his book, which, again, you can get simply by going to the website, LoganLoomis.com. You click on the books. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see them listed there. We're talking about Both Sides Win today, 3 Secrets for Success in Customer Negotiations. And I've already displayed that I like to negotiate for cars, especially ones not for me, because then I feel like I'm more in control. You kind of take the emotion out of it because you know it's not you. But that's kind of where we've ventured to at this point, you know, talking about the Russian-style negotiation that Logan mentioned in the previous segment, and how that style gets people to react, and it gets them to react with emotion, right?
Yeah, it does. As you said, when you're negotiating for somebody else, you don't have emotion.
Right.
If we have emotion, we give up self-control. So part of it, and people will, one of the tactics is people will play on that.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, people act like a 16-year-old kid, and these practices that you teach will help people to react, that'll help you maintain your self-control rather than giving it away. Because when you get those emotions involved in any type of negotiation, that can really put you on your back heels. Now, give me an instance of where, this can be important for people to know.
Well, it's how do you gain self-control? And one of the things is you can simply acknowledge the emotion. It's one of the practices I talk about.
Okay.
When you're engaging with someone who's, for instance, upset, I encourage you to simply pause and say, "Boy, you really seem upset." It's just that simple. Just acknowledge the emotion you're seeing. People make it so hard, but it's really that simple. You see, you don't normally acknowledge emotions, even when they're the 800-pound gorilla in the room, even when they're driving the conversation.
Right.
Somebody's acting out. It's like the Emperor's New Clothes. He's parading around naked, and no one points it out until a little boy said, "Hey, the Emperor's naked." It's just that simple. Acknowledge the emotion.
Right.
If the person's genuinely upset, they will clarify what's going on for them. Because remember, we all want to be understood. So if you're trying to understand me, if I'm genuinely upset, I say, "Boy, you seem really upset." People will clarify. If it's a tactic, they're not genuinely upset, it tends to get them off balance. And let me give you a couple of examples of this.
Okay.
One of my clients is a general manager of a construction company.
Right.
And one of his clients just came in one morning, one of the builders that he works for, came in one morning and started yelling at him over some really insignificant thing. And so my client said, who's learned how to practice the practice of acknowledging emotion, he paused and said, "Boy, you really seem upset with me." And his client was taken aback. He said, "No, I'm not upset with you. It's just that they've made me stop smoking and drinking for health reasons, and my nerves are frayed. I'm sorry I yelled at you." And by acknowledging that, what happened is they became BFFs. Because the guy really felt like he was trying to understand him as he was. He didn't get defensive. He didn't react. He just responded. Now, by contrast, I was negotiating a real estate transaction.
Okay.
And the buyer came in and started yelling that he couldn't believe the terms that I had put in that buy-sell agreement. And he was all, huffing and puffing. And I said, "Boy, it really looks like I've upset you." Well, he wasn't upset. Because he was not genuinely upset, he started saying, "He didn't know what to say. The tactic didn't work on me."
Right.
And, it was really funny. It got him off balance.
So in other words, he was trying, that was the Russian style by yelling.
That was the Russian style. He was coming in and he was going to get me to react and defend what I had put in there. And instead, right, I just talked about the emotion. "Boy, you seem upset with me." And I maintained control because he didn't know how to respond to that.
Right.
Because he really wasn't upset over the terms. He just clearly wanted better terms. And we ended up negotiating the thing out to a mutually satisfactory conclusion, which is why I call it both sides win. If we can get to a point where we're both satisfied with the outcome, we win. And right, in order to do that, we have to understand where each of us are coming from and what is of value to each of us.
Right. And a lot of times we already have in our head, or maybe we wrote it down and say, "Okay, this is what I'm going for. This is what I'd like to achieve." But everybody knows that, it's like when dealing with an insurance company. Oh my goodness, if you got to put in with a claim with an insurance company, you got to ask for $1.50 to get a buck, because they are notorious for underpaying.
And you need to negotiate it.
Yeah, and you need to negotiate, and you got to make sure, like you mentioned, take the emotion out of it. because that's where people lose. That's when, you know, and I made reference to what's going on in Washington with the administration versus, you know, things that they're trying to negotiate with other countries, within this country. And it seems like that's the style. That's the style that seems to have worked for President Trump throughout his life. And now he's brought it to, you know, a much larger stage, so to speak. And people don't like it because they are reacting emotionally as opposed to, okay, what will you take as opposed to, oh my God, this is crazy, the sky is falling kind of thing.
And then I overreact.
Right.
And we, you know, and you're just giving away control.
Right.
And that's one of the key things I've learned in negotiating over the years is don't give away your power.
Right.
And that's really one of the practices that I talk about in the book is don't give away your power. And we all have so much more power than we realize. And if we just embrace that, then we actually get much better outcomes. We create much better influence.
Right.
And there are influence principles that are always available to us. And most of us don't know them. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to summarize them in the book.
Yeah, and just to conclude.
These are always available to you.
Right, and to conclude, because we are going to run out of time soon, and I don't want to do that before we get done. You know, being an accomplished professional as you are, what quote or is there a word of inspiration you can give others to follow? Because, you know, I think it's important moving forward, and especially because, you know, what's in the book.
You know, it's a quote from the book, Rick.
Okay.
One of the practices, as I said, is to not give away your power.
Right.
And one of the ways that we give away our personal power is by having limited aspirations. One of the questions I ask when I'm helping people prepare for a negotiation or a sales call is, what would be an extraordinary outcome? People almost universally say, well, this would be extraordinary, but.
Right.
And then they come up with all the reasons they can't achieve it. The yeah buts come out, you know, but Roger Bannister achieved the extraordinary. He's the guy that broke the 4-minute mile.
Right.
He challenged the yeah buts. And at the time, the science and medical community said that if a person ran a mile faster than 4 minutes, their organs would explode because of the pressure. They would die.
Right.
Now, you know, that's a big yeah but. But his record lasted 46 days because he changed people's aspiration levels.
Right.
He did it so I can do it. Roger Bannister did it so I can do it. You know, just that change of aspiration levels, just raising your aspiration. And I love this quote from Roger Bannister. It's one of my favorite quotes of all time. No one can say you must not run faster than this or jump higher than that. The human spirit is indomitable.
Right. That's a great quote, and you know, being a former runner myself, I knew the story of Bannister as well. Hey Logan, before we wrap up, how can people get the book or even get in touch with you? What's the best way?
The book's available on Amazon, and as you said, you can get it on my website, loganlumis.com. If you're on the website, sign up for my blog. I share some insights on how to unlock more of your potential and achieve success in leading others and leading yourself.
All right. Well, you know what? If you do want to find out more about Logan, reach out to him directly. LoganLumis.com. Loomis is spelled LOOMIS.com. The book available on Amazon.com. Again, if you go to the website, all you do, when you get to the homepage, you just scroll down a little bit, you know, past all, he's taking selfies, he's putting them on the front. I'm just messing with you. But you'll see about midway down, you'll see publications, 3 Secrets for Success in Customer Negotiation. It's called Both Sides Win. You can also get his other book, How to Get the Right People into the Right Jobs and Keep Them. Both books are available right now. You can read a little bit about them just by clicking on that tab. There's also links to Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble to get your copies of the book. Makes a great gift for somebody. Maybe you know somebody who's in sales or you know in management and could use something like this. Could be a great thing for them over the holidays. Again, LoganLumis.com or reach out to him by phone, 504-302-1346. Logan, lots of fun. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Thanks so much, man.
You got it, my friend. Be good. Have a great holiday. We'll be back after these words right here on MBR.